Every aileron you've ever touched is about to become a relic. I'm Tower on ATIS Radio Hangar's aviation news program, and the story I want to walk you through today is one of those quiet milestones that doesn't look like much from the outside. A fuselage bolted to a set of wings in a factory somewhere, but represents something that could fundamentally change the way every aircraft that comes after it is designed. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's start with a basic fact of aerodynamics that every pilot learns early and takes for granted forever after. You want to roll left, you move the left aileron up and the right aileron down. You want to pitch up, you pull back on the elevator. You want to yaw, you push the rudder pedal. Control surfaces deflect into the airflow. That deflection changes the pressure distribution over the wing or tail, and the aircraft responds. That is how it has worked since the Wright brothers figured out wing warping in 1903, and every aircraft ever built, from a Piper Cub to a Boeing 747, has operated on that same principle. Mechanical surfaces. Moving parts break. Moving parts create drag. Moving parts create gaps in the airframe that radar can see. Moving parts require actuators and cables and hydraulic lines and inspection intervals and replacement schedules. The whole system is reliable, extraordinarily reliable by any honest measure, but it is not perfect. And the question engineers have been asking for decades is whether there is a better way. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, believes there is. And the X-65 is how they're going to prove it. Here's what you need to know about the X-65. It is an unmanned experimental aircraft, an X-plane in the traditional sense, that weighs approximately 7,000 pounds and is being built by Aurora Flight Sciences for DARPA's CRANE program. CRANE stands for Control of Revolutionary Aircraft with Novel Effectors. The first flight is currently planned for 2027, and earlier this week, a significant assembly milestone was reached. The fuselage was mated with the wings. That sounds routine in this case, it is anything but. Because those wings have no ailerons. The X-65 does not have a traditional rudder. It does not have conventional elevators. What it has instead are tiny slots and ports embedded in the surface of the aircraft through which pressurized air is blown. That blown air manipulates the boundary layer, the thin film of air that clings to any surface moving through the atmosphere. And by controlling that boundary layer, engineers can change the lift and drag distribution across the wing and fuselage without ever moving a physical surface. This is called active flow control, or AFC. It is not a new concept. Researchers have been experimenting with boundary layer control in AFC since the 1940s. Blown flaps showed up on some Cold War era carrier aircraft. The idea of using jets of air to manipulate lift has been in the engineering literature for a long time. What has been elusive is making it the primary flight control system on a full-scale aircraft. That is what the X-65 is designed to do, and the implications, if it works, are significant enough that it is worth taking a few minutes to really unpack them. Start with stealth. One of the fundamental challenges in designing a low observable aircraft is that control surfaces create discontinuities in the airframe. Anywhere you have a hinge line, a gap, a surface edge that moves, that is a feature that can scatter radar energy. The engineers who designed the B-2 Spirit spent enormous effort managing the radar cross-section of its control surfaces. The X-65, by replacing those surfaces with AFC, could represent a genuinely smoother, cleaner airframe from a radar perspective. Now think about weight and complexity. A modern fly-by-wire aircraft has hydraulic actuators, backup actuators, flight control computers that are monitoring all of this and compensating for failures in real time. The mechanical infrastructure that moves control surfaces on something like an F-18 or an Airbus A320 is a significant portion of the aircraft's total complexity. Active flow control replaces a lot of that, with a system that, at its core, is about moving pressurized air through pipes and valves. Fewer moving parts, different failure modes, that last point matters, and it is worth being clear about. Fewer moving parts does not automatically mean more reliable. The X-65 program is, in part, designed to characterize exactly what those new failure modes look like and how the control system responds to them. If you lose hydraulic pressure to an aileron actuator, you know what happens. If you lose flow control authority to a wing section, that is a question the program is actively trying to answer. This is what experimental aircraft are for. That is the point of the X-plane program dating all the way back to the Bell X-1 in 1947. You build something that does things no production aircraft does. You fly it carefully and methodically. and you learn things you cannot learn any other way. Aurora Flight Sciences is doing the building. If you're not familiar with Aurora, they have been one of the more interesting companies in advanced aerospace development for the last few decades. They were acquired by Boeing back in 2017, but they operate with considerable autonomy on research and development programs. They've been involved in everything from autonomous systems to vertical lift to high-altitude long-endurance platforms. The X-65 is a significant project in their portfolio, and the fact that they've reached wing mating with first flight still on track for 2027 suggests the program is moving reasonably well. 2027, by the way, is not that far away. If you're keeping score at home, that is roughly 18 months from now. The schedule has always been aggressive by the standards of experimental aircraft development, and it remains to be seen whether it holds. But the milestone reported this week getting the fuselage and wings joined is a meaningful step. You cannot fly an aircraft that hasn't been assembled. Let me step back and give you some context on why DARPA is the one funding this, because that context matters. DARPA's core mission is high-risk, high-reward research. The kinds of things that defense services and traditional contractors are reluctant to fund because the probability of failure is too high. DARPA bets on long shots because occasionally a long shot pays off in a way that reshapes what is possible. The internet, GPS, stealth technology, all of these have DARPA fingerprints somewhere in their lineage. The X-65 is a classic DARPA program in that sense. It is betting that a control approach that has always been theoretically promising but practically unproven at scale can actually be made to work on a real aircraft. The Crane program was specifically designed around active flow control. The goal is not just to demonstrate that AFC can move an airplane around the sky. The goal is to demonstrate that AFC can serve as the primary flight control system, roll, pitch, and yaw, without traditional control surfaces. If that demonstration succeeds, it opens the door to a new generation of airframe designs that are cleaner, stealthier, and potentially more survivable in contested environments. Now, I want to be honest with you about where this sits in the development timeline, because I think it is easy to get excited about X-plane programs and not fully appreciate how long the road from first flight to operational capability actually is. The X-65 will fly in 2027, assuming the schedule holds. At that point, it will enter a flight test program designed to characterize how well active flow control actually works in practice, what the control authority looks like across different flight regimes, what the handling qualities are, how the system responds to edge cases and degraded conditions. That program will take years. The data from that program will feed into the next generation of design studies. And then, somewhere down the line, a program of record might incorporate AFC as a primary control approach. We are probably talking about the mid-2030s at the earliest before you see an operational aircraft that actually flew on the lessons of the X-65 maybe later. But that is how aviation works. The X-1 flew in 47. The F-100 Super Sabre, the first supersonic fighter in operational service, entered the inventory in 1954. 7 years from breaking the sound barrier to flying it routinely. The pace is actually faster now in some respects, but the basic principle holds. Experimental programs plant seeds that take time to grow. For general aviation pilots, the direct near-term application of active flow control technology is probably modest. The economics of GA don't currently support the kind of research and development that would translate X-65 lessons into a new Cessna design anytime soon. But the indirect effects could be meaningful. If AFC demonstrates real advantages in reliability and reduced complexity, that conversation eventually reaches the Part 23 world. If it demonstrates advantages in noise reduction, and there is some research suggesting that controlled boundary layers can reduce aerodynamic noise, that is something that matters to anyone operating near communities that are increasingly sensitive to aircraft sound. The headline doesn't tell the whole story when it comes to the X-65. Fuselage mated with wings sounds like a factory milestone, and it is. But what it really represents is another step toward answering a question that aeronautical engineers have been asking for 80 years. Can we fly an airplane without moving its surfaces? If the answer turns out to be yes, the next question will be, what does that let us build that we couldn't build before? That is the question that makes this program worth watching. Whether you fly a Cessna 172 or you design fighter aircraft for a living. I've been drawing from reporting by The Aviationist and background material from DARPA's Crane program documentation. You can read more and find past segments at radiohanger.com. Keep the shiny side up. I'm Tower. This was ADIS.